I forgot for the first 2 minutes in the other class. Okay, under programs, there are a series of programs out here. And we're going to look at a couple of them today. And they need to be unzipped. So, let's see. That one is pretty much what we already did in class. So, the first three, maybe the first four, maybe the first five. We'll see how it goes. But I'll definitely get through the first three. So, you can download those and unzip them. So download the ones that said math. Actually, as I said, I think it's about 2 through 4 that I'm going to try to get through, and we'll see how we do. First math, basic math, loops, while, and work areas are the ones I think I'm going to get through, maybe even user input.
Well, that's in visual, that's in examples, right?
Under programs.
Okay. I thought it was examples. So.
No. Programs.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And if anybody's got the homework from the numbering systems and they want to give me the paperwork, I will take that. Okay, so I'm going to open, I think it's basic math. So, yep.
I saved the file in documents. Is that right, or did I put it in the wrong spot?
Say that again.
I put the zip file in.
I don't. No, you should put it on the P drive if you want it another day, and you may.
Yeah.
You may want it another day. I put it on my flash drive if you have a flash drive. I think that's the best place to put it. Well, you are bad.
I have them at home. We just haven't had a reason to have them before.
Okay, so now we're going to do file and then open project. Okay? So you're doing file and then open project.
Is everyone doing okay with unzipping their zip files and stuff? Okay.
So we're going to do
Visual Studio if you have, because it's going to take forever.
Right. Files, open project, and then you're going to pick the project from wherever you stored it. And I have it out here, so I'm going to go and get it off my flash drive. Okay, and then the one I'm looking at is, I think it's basic math, but we'll find out when I open it and I tell you, no, that's the wrong one.
Okay.
Actually, I'm going to go open it and then I'll reopen it again just to make sure I've got the right one.
Are you going down the list on your website there?
I sort of.
Okay.
But I don't remember which one I put first. And it takes forever, but I will go back. Yep, that was the right one. So I want basic math. So, I'm closing the solution, and now I'll go through it piece by piece. So I'm saying file, open project, And then I'm picking basic math. Okay, so file, open project, and I'm picking basic math.
Oh, I thought we were supposed to do first math.
That's because I didn't know which I was doing. But now I've checked and it's basic math. Okay, so there's the list of things, and I'm going to open basic math. And we're going to look at first math in a minute, so if you have that, that's fine. So I'm opening basic math by clicking on it, and then clicking it again until I see the SLN. The SLN is what I want to click on to open it. Okay? And notice all the stuff that it's got stored there. That's why I said you're going to save your Visual Basic as a folder and zip it up and send it to me. It saves a lot of stuff, yeah.
I don't have what you had on your school.
Well,
you said
did you unzip it?
Original, it's, all I have is two of the things on it.
Pat?
Yeah.
Can you?
Yeah.
Oh, you have all the other files there too. I'm
yes.
Sorry.
So I've just got, now I've got basic math. I click on it until I see the SLM. I keep clicking on basic math until I see the SLM.
Okay.
Okay. When I get the SLM, then I am going to also click on that. And you may see other things after you've run it, but for now, that's what comes up. So when I click on the SLN, it now opens my form. Okay? So I've now got my form open. And I had set up two labels up here. I've got three text boxes. And I've got a load of others. Okay, so I've got five buttons set up. Is everybody there and seeing that?
I have the file open, but it's just...
It's
blank. Did you download it yet?
Oh,
what was that? Did you unzip it?
Yeah. I opened the SLN file, and I have basic math.
Okay, try clicking on this and seeing if that opens it. If that's there. Is that coming up?
My project?
Did you unzip it?
Yes, it did.
I had to double-click it several times.
Yes, and then that. If you don't immediately see the form, click on the thing that says formmath.bb, and that ought to open the form. So if you're not seeing it immediately, click on that a few times, and that will hopefully bring up the form. Okay, is everybody seeing the form?
Yeah.
Okay. So, again, if I come over here and look at the properties, I can see there's label first. Okay, there's label first. And actually, if I click on this arrow right here, it shows me all the names of all the things. Okay, the arrow right next to the label first shows me all the buttons that I have, all the forms I have. It shows me everything. But usually, instead of working there, we work up here. So this text box is called, this text box is called text first. And again, I prefer alphabetic, so I hit the second icon in on the text first, so it shows me the properties in alphabetical order. If you hit the first icon, it shows you the properties in groupings by category. And I prefer alphabetical, so I make it alphabetical. Okay, and that's the second icon. And then if I look down at my buttons, my button is called button add. So I've got all of these things set up. Okay, so now what I'm going to do is I click on the add button. And the add button goes in, and it now shows me the code. So here is my code. And again, when I click on something, it generates the private sub and the end sub, and then I put the code in the middle to tell it what I actually want to do when that button is clicked. So when I put a button on my form, I then double click on it so that I can put the code in that's on that button. Okay, so if I go back to my form and I drag another button just randomly over here, it's now called button one. And if I double click on button one, come on. If I double click on button one, it just generated a new subroutine called button one click. So it just generated that. So I double clicked on button one, it generated the subroutine for me. Okay? Now, lots of times when you click on various areas, it generates a lot of these things. When you're done, you should go back and clean them up so that you don't send it in with 5,000, you know, routines that have nothing inside them. Okay, that's just basically, it's not going to hurt anything, it's just sloppy. Okay, so you want to clean those up. Okay, so again, going back and looking at my ad. Okay. If I have commented out a couple of things, and notice how I commented them out. I comment them out with a single quote. So those lines are commented out because they have a single quote on them. So the only one that is working right now is the one that says convert to integer, which is convert to integer is basically the same thing as parseInt that you used in JavaScript. So cint is the same in Visual Basic as parseInt was back in JavaScript. And what you find is that as you start learning languages, there are a load of these similarities. Okay, I know I want to have parse integer. How do I do that in Visual Basic? And basically, okay, it's cint. And that works the same way. Okay, and we have the same problem that we have in a lot of languages in that the plus can mean add and it also can mean concatenate, so we have to do that when we add. Okay, so if I run this now and say start, and I have my form and I put in 8 and I put in 2 and I click on add, it tells me 10. And then if you look down further, if I click on subtract, all that is doing is the basic subtract. When I click on multiply, it does multiplying. And when I click on dividing, it does divide, which is done with a slash. And multiply is an asterisk. Now notice on all of the text boxes, I write dot text, which means I want to know about the text property, which means I want the content that was typed into the box. I want the content that was typed into the box. That's the text property. Okay, so I have to say dot text. So if I subtract, I get 6. If I multiply, I get 16. And if I divide, I get 4. So I've got basically my basic math going on in there. Okay. Now, I'm going to go back up to the ad and look at the other versions. So I'm going to take away that single quote and I'm going to put it on the bottom one so that I now have the middle one active. And notice it turns things to green when they've been commented out, which is kind of helpful. Okay? So now if I run this, I've got Val there. And Val is also says convert to a number. But it's kind of the generic way. Val means just make it a number. I'm not telling you whether it should be decimal. I'm not telling you whether it should be an integer. Just make it a number. So if I put two numbers in here, 7, 5, and I say add, or 7, 6, I guess I had. When I say add, it gives me the 13. Okay. Now I want to go back and change it, so I'm going to close. Notice the close says me close. That means close this current form, me close. So now I'm going to go back and I'm going to comment out both of these and let the first one be the one that's being run. And I'm going to say start. And I'm putting 12 in and 6 in. And I'm saying add, and look what I got, 126. Okay, so it's doing concatenating. It took the plus, yeah.
I have this button 1 on the side of mine that I think you told us to drag in there. I don't know how to get rid of it.
Just click on it and delete it.
Just click on the delete button.
Yeah.
I'm not getting a delete it.
Go back to design view.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you can't change it while it's executing.
Oh.
Okay, so either click the close or click the X and get out, and then you have to be able to get rid of it. Sometimes they actually let you change things when you are running, but usually no. Every once in a while it surprises me and lets me do something, but on the whole, the answer is no. Okay. So, that is basically what I've got set up here. I've got these. Okay, voices down when you're talking, please. Okay, so I've got the text, I've got the labels, and I've got the buttons. Okay, so now I'm going to go look at the other math one. So close this up, and when you close it up, you say close solution. Close solution. Not unless you want them.
Now I mess up.
Okay, so now I'm going to open the one that says first math. So I'm saying file, open project. Again, when I want to make a new project, I use new project. When I'm opening an existing program, I say open project. Okay, so I've got new project if I want to create one, and open project if I'm opening something that exists. So I'm saying open project. I'm going back and I'm choosing first math, and I'm opening that. Okay, now this time my form didn't come up. But if I click over here on form math, I will bring up my form. Okay, so I had no form that came up this time. But if I come over here and click on form math, it comes up. Okay, so this one I went back and I basically modified it so that I could use if statements. So I'm asking some questions here. So I made a button, and I called this button form BTN question 1. And when I double-clicked on it, it came over here, and it's got some code in it that you want to go and take a look at. So, this is a simple if The one down below is a little more complex. So I said here, if textfirst.txt equals textsecond.txt, then I wanted to put out in the answer area the word same. Otherwise, I wanted to put in the answer area the word different. Okay. So, if I run this and I put a 5 in there and a 5 in there, and I click on question 1, it comes up and says same. Okay? If I put a 5 in there and a 7 in there, and I click on question 1, it comes up and says different. Okay. So now, before I even go on to question 2, what I want to do is close this up, go back to the form, and have you extend your form down a little bit and add another button. Okay, so I've added another button. And I'm going to call this one question 3. So I'm naming the form, and I'm saying button question 3. Okay?
How did you change the name?
Under the word name.
Oh.
Okay? Oh, if you look at it by the word name, I'm saying button question 3. That's giving it a name. Now, if I want to have words inside here, which I probably do, I need to scroll down until I find the text property. And when I get to the text property, I'm going to change that from button 1 to question 3. Okay, so now it's going to come up with question 3 on there. Okay. So now I'm going to put in question 3, if first text first, if text first dot text is greater than 5, I want to write text answer dot text equals greater than 5. Notice it automatically put in an endif for me. It's very helpful. It automatically put in an endif for me. It also automatically put in the word then, because it likes to have if something then. So it automatically did that for me. Okay. A few versions back it didn't, and I always used to forget the then. So very nicely they now automated that. So I'm now got if text first is greater than 5. So if I start this and I put a 9 in there and a 0, 1 in there, whatever, and I click on question 3, it comes back and says greater than 5. Notice I didn't put an else on that. I just said, if it's greater than 5, then tell me greater than 5. Okay. If I put a 2 in there and I click on it, it still gives me greater than 5. I have a problem. And the problem is that it doesn't understand that that is a number. Okay, it doesn't understand that that's a number. So what we're going to look at now is the next example, and then we'll see how to fix this. Okay. Question two. I did conversions. I converted numeric to numeric. Okay? Because I wanted to have it clear that this was a number and this was a number. When I enter data onto a form, it defaults to saying this is string data, which is character data. And it's not able to compare correctly. But if I convert and say, convert this to a number, convert this to a number, and by the way, CDEC does convert decimal. CDEC converts like parsecl does, and that converts decimal. CINT converts integer. So if I convert it, then it does the comparisons correctly. Okay, so I need to convert it to a number in order to have it act correctly. So if I come down here, I can see that I said, convert the first number, convert the second number. And then I did the tests. And I said, is it greater than, is it less than, or is it equal to? And it did the comparison.
Just for a second, I think some people are like kind of like behind. They didn't know, I don't think a lot of people don't even have that question three part. So does everyone understand?
Nope. Mine's not coming up the way yours did at all.
Feels just a little bit wonderful.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I think people are just kind of going way too slow. Or,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't get the else when I finished. That's a thing. It's nothing.
You didn't get what else?
You know when you wrote the first thing, it said...
I haven't written an else yet.
Well, we did the first... When we were doing button two...
Okay, we haven't gotten
buttons yet.
Okay, so.
Yeah.
All right. So, we should back up, is what he's telling me.
Yeah, start from the top. If I were you, like, or just give, like, that. When you made that button, I would start kind of there. Yeah.
Okay, we'll fix that over. Okay, I'm going back to question two, because it's the right way of doing it. So we're going to look at question two, and then we'll go down and play with question three again. But in question two, I said if, and then I said convert this number to an integer. And the reason is that on the form, the data that is entered into the text box is considered to be text or string or character. It's not considered to be a number. It is just a character. And actually, if I run that, you can see when I put the numbers there, they go over against that side. And numeric things will tend to be over on this side. So it's taking those in as character data.
She just pressed the play button, by the way, in case you're curious. You stop by pressing the stop button.
The start button.
Yep.
Not the play, the start, right?
Yep.
That, the start. Whenever I want to see my output, I push start, and it shows me my output. Okay? And then I type the numbers in. Well, when I've got a number I've typed on the form, my best bet is to convert it over to an integer or a decimal. Because it didn't come in as a number, if I want to treat it as a number, especially in comparisons, it is better to convert it. I didn't have to do it when I did the adding. Okay, one of the things, let's not talk, okay? And that will help, I think, a little bit. When I did the ads, it figured it out that they were numbers because it's really smart. I could have done the conversion on all of these and been secure, I guess. If I'm paranoid, I can convert every number I ever touch. But for some reason, it is smart enough to analyze it correctly when I'm doing a subtract, a multiply, or a divide. But it sometimes gets confused when I do a comparison. So if I convert it to numbers, then it compares far better. And I convert it to numbers by saying C, INT, if it's an integer, and C, DEC, if it's a decimal. Okay? So, and I started through this one, and I probably shouldn't have done the question three. We'll look at that in a minute. So I'm saying here, if the number converted over, to make sure it's a number, is greater than this number, then, and Visual Basic adds the then if you forget it. Then I said, okay, the field on the form called textanswer.text is going to get the words first is greater than second. Else, and I put in another if statement, and I say, if the first number is less than the second number, and again, I converted them to integers, then in the text box, I'm going to write first is less than second. Else, I'm going to write first is equal to second. Now, if you look at the way this works, I've got the first question where I'm comparing greater than. And if it's greater than, I write out greater. If it's not greater, I take the else, and I ask, is it less? And if it's less, I write out the word less. Else, I write out the only other possibility, which is it's equal. Okay? Because that's the only other possibility. These close-ups are my end-ifs. So I'm closing those up, and those are my end-ifs. And you can see my two end-ifs at the bottom. Okay? So I have if, and I ask a question. Then I have the else, and then I have its end-if. Those all go together. And the else asked a second question, which had an if, an else, and an end if as well. So it asked a second question. Okay? So I am now got a if statement inside an if. Now notice when we did JavaScript, we needed curly braces. Here it goes on words. So end if tells me the if is done, and it goes with words, so I don't have to put the curly braces in. Else is the same, but the end if takes the place of the closing curly braces. Okay? So in this example, I'm saying if one thing is true, do this. Else, if the second thing is true, do something else. Else, do the third thing. Okay. Is everybody with me on this one?
Cool.
Okay, let's not talk for just a minute. Let's wait for just a minute until I get through this. Okay. So, this is the way that I've set this up. Okay. Now what I was going to do in question three is just write a third question. And actually, I'm going to rethink that, and we're going to do question three a little bit differently, since I've already talked about the greater than. Let's pretend... Okay, it doesn't like me because what did I do?
You left it in there.
No, I left it, yeah. I was going to actually take everything out, I think. And I thought I had. Okay, so I'm going to go back to my form. And I said these were first numbers, but we're going to pretend that I didn't say that. And that these are things where I can put in data. So, I'm going to put in... when I run this, an A and a B, we'll say. And I want to compare and see if they're equal. So I decided to make a button. And I went over here and I made a button that I'm naming question three. Okay. Now, when I made that button, I came over and I dragged the button over. So I'm going to make a question four, and then we can write some other questions. So there's the button. Now I come over here, and I come up with the name for the button. And I, under name, I'm going to call that BTN question four. Now, that's the name that I'm going to refer to the button by. But it's not the name that appears on the front. The name that appears on the front is the name that I put in the text box. So I'm going to go down, and here in the text box, I'm going to write the words question four. And now when I've written that, they know what question it is, that it's question four. So now I can go in and I've got these two areas. And I can go in and I can ask a question. Okay? So let's say that I decide that I want to ask the question. I want to put an A in there. And I want to put a 12 in there. Okay. So I want to ask the question, is this an A? And if it is that a 12? So I want to ask, is the first thing got an A and the second thing got a 12? And if it is, I want to put out the message that says okay. And if it's not, I want to put out the message that says problem. And if this isn't true, I also want to put out a message that says problem there. Okay, so I've got a problem. And now I'm closing these off. And those are my close of my end if. Okay? Yeah.
You had said earlier that something was wrong with my question three. I still don't know what you meant by that.
Well, I erased it, so don't worry about it. What was wrong with it was I hadn't done the convert integer. And I went back and explained that in question two. I had written the numbers without doing... the convert integer.
So are we supposed to fix that or no?
I erased it because he yelled at me. Okay.
It's not erased on your thing though, the question three button still there.
But I'm now going to write a new question three. Okay? So he yelled at me and told me I was going too fast and he was right. And so I erased it and now I'm fixing it. Okay? I had explained what the problem was, that I was starting to write a comparison without doing the convert numbers to integers. And my goal was to go and fix that. And I can do that in a later question if you want, but I kind of decided to make that go away because I thought I had explained it in question two. But we'll see. Okay, so what I want to do now is go into question three and write this set of if statements. Okay? I want to check to see if first number equals an A. Now, as I told you, I called this first number. The computer doesn't know what first number means. If I want to put an A in there, it's fine with the computer. You may get a little iffy about it, but I can put it in there. Okay? So I'm going to look for the first number being an A and the second number being a 12. So I'm going to go inside here and I'm going to start to write that. So I'm going to say if text first dot text, okay, equals an A. And I need to put the A in quotes because it's a non-numeric literal. And non-numeric literals have to go into quotes. So I'm saying if text first dot text equals an A. And then if I just hit the enter here, notice Visual Basic very nicely puts in the then. And as I said, in older versions it didn't, and I constantly got an error because I constantly forgot the word then. But Visual Basic has now figured out that I should do that, so it puts it in there. So now my next question is if, and I want to, if I want to do it, I can say convert to integer text second. Dot text. And as I said, when you write a number, the safest way to work with it, and that's what I was talking about in the original one, is to convert it to an integer. And that tells the computer for sure that I want to work with a number. And you did that in JavaScript. You did a lot of converting to parse integer, parse float. So now I'm saying I want to see if that is equal to 12. And if it is, then I want to say that text answer.text is going to be equal to OK. Okay? So I'm now saying text answer.text should be equal to OK. And when I'm done, I'll put this on a notepad so you can read it a little better. Then I'm hitting enter, and I am saying else. I want to make text answer.text equal to problem. And then that ends that if, but I still want another else, and I want to say text answer dot text equals problem. Okay, so this is what I wrote for the if statement. So if you can't read it other places, this is what I wrote. Okay, so I said if text first dot text equals A, and let's hope I wrote it right. If not, we're all going to make the same mistakes. If C integer dot text second equals 12, then I am saying okay. Else, I'm saying it's a problem. So either one of those is going to be a problem. So again, my flowchart was, I asked if the first thing was equal to an A. And if it was, I came over and I said, is this 12? And if it is, okay. Else, it's a problem. Else, it's a problem. Okay. and then I'm going to close this up, and that's an end if, and then I'm closing this up. Okay, questions? Yeah.
I'm getting expression expected error.
Okay, let's see if I can run it.
I think it's exactly the same.
Well, we don't know mine's going to work yet. So let's try running it. Okay, at least I got the form to come up. That's progress. Now I'm going to put an A in there, and I'm putting a 12 in here, and I'm clicking on question 3, and I got an okay. So at least we now know that at least I wrote it right. Okay, so there's what I wrote. There it is. So check yours and see if it's all right. I asked the first question, and remember, if the first question is true, I drop down. So then I asked the second question. And if both of those are true, I said okay. So these are two things in an and relationship. I'm saying A, and it's got to be equal to 12. I've got to have both things true. Anybody, is everybody okay on this? Before he yells at me again? Is everybody okay on this one?
So the two ifs make an and relationship?
Well, the fact that I'm saying if this is true, drop down and ask the next question.
Yeah.
If it's not true, where do I go? I go to the else.
Okay.
And I write out that it's a problem. So if it's true, I just will handle it that way. Now let's take question 4 that I have. And let's change this, so I'm going to say, I'm going to say in question 4, I want one or the other to be true. I want it to either be A or 12. Okay, so let's make the change here. I need to change this, just so when I take a picture of it. So I'm going to say, if it's A, then it's okay. If it's not A, is it 12? And if it's 12, it's okay. And if it's not 12, then it's a problem. Okay? So what I want to do there is test for either of them. So this was an and relationship. This is going to be an or relationship. Okay, one or the other has to be true. So how am I going to change the code so that it's an or relationship? Yeah.
Put an else in front of the second if.
Yes. But first, what do I have to do? If the first is if it's true, what do I want to do?
Then you say, okay, text answer, okay.
Right. So I'm going to copy and paste that right in there. So if the first thing is true, I want to say that it's okay, right? And then you're right. I have to put in an else. So if it's not true, then I'm going to put in an else. And I'm going to say, now ask the second question. Okay? So now I've got, if the first question is true, put out okay. Else, ask the second question. And if it's true, then put out okay. But if the second question isn't true, I've run out of chances, I'm going to put out the word problem. Okay? And then I am ending both ifs. Questions? Okay. I am going to take this and copy it and paste it into question four. But I don't have a question four down here. How do I get question four back here?
Write it.
Well, why not go back to my form and just double click on it? And then it generates that, which is a lot easier than writing out all this stuff up there. So I went back to question four, I double-clicked on it, and it generated the area. And now I go in here, and I paste it in. Only apparently I lost it.
I can't get it to generate.
If you click on a button?
If I double click the question four, it's not generating.
Is the question four a button?
Yes.
And you're double clicking on it?
Yeah.
Are you in run mode or out of run mode?
I'm out of run mode.
Then you have a problem. Okay, I'll come and look at it in a second. I'm going to copy this. I'm going to paste it in. And now I have it hopefully working. And I can come in here and say, okay, if it's a and a 2 or 3, it puts out the word okay, because I said I wanted either of them to be true. Okay? If it is a B and a 3, and I hit question 4, it tells me it's a problem because neither of them is true. And if I go back and leave the B and put the 12 and hit question 4, it tells me it's okay. Okay? So now you're not getting it to generate when you double click on it. Okay. Why? Somehow you just erased a letter. Okay. Questions. So basically, these are very similar to the things you wrote in JavaScript, except that I am going across and not having to use curly braces. Now, notice Visual Basic very nicely indents for me, so I can see the ifs and the elses and the end ifs that go together rather nicely. Okay. Now, I can come up here, I'm going to go, and I'm going to make a question 5.
I'm getting build errors when I try to get a shot on this.
Okay.
This thing does not like me.
Yeah, it's apparently personal. I'll be over in a minute, but you're getting build errors?
Yeah.
Oh.
There's a lot on the board.
You have to double check that it's not helping you too much. Okay. So, the other thing that I can do with this is, remember we could do a compound? I can do a compound with this as well. So I can write the word up here, and then bring up the next question. And it very nicely tells me what I shouldn't have, and this is how my and would look. Just like in the other, in JavaScript, I can put two things together with an and. Visual Basic is more English-oriented, so I get to actually write the word and.
I thought I was wrong. I think it's about two and... No, wait, no, I didn't want to do that. There's two and ifs right here at the bottom.
Okay, so try to go back and convert it to an and then try to convert the other one to an or. Because the other one was an or relationship, so try converting that one to an or.
I
Okay, so I've converted that over to an and then you try converting the or one. Try converting this down so that I ask it with an or question. So I want either A or 12. So try converting that with an or. Try making it a compound with an or. Okay, I converted question 3 to a compound with an and. This and this. Now this one is a basic or relationship. I want to now say if text first dot text equals A or text second dot text equals 12. So I want to make it an or relationship. So you try converting that to an or.
Just throwing it out there. Notice the and here? That's the difference. Then what? Before. This compound. Now you want to make this one like that. But
only you want to use an or.
It's like spelling it out straight
up instead of
second.
You know, here I have two questions. I want to combine the two questions into one with an or relationship. Okay, so what am I going to change? So what is this going to look like down here? Read me what you have, somebody that has it. Ah, oh, come on, somebody's got it.
I just have the first one, which would be if text first equals A or...
Exactly. Or, uppercase, so lowercase.
C-I-M-T, and then text second...
So I can just copy and paste that. I can copy and paste this because I really like copying and pasting when I can.
That's basically what I finished right now.
And that's it?
Yeah.
All I need to do is have the problem in there. And now what else? I need to get rid of an end if because I had one too many end ifs. So I need to get rid of an end if. So I now have if text first dot text equals A or convert to integer equals 12, then and I go ahead. Okay, so this gives me a basic or relationship. So they let me write them as separate questions, just like I did in JavaScript, or I can write them as compounds, just like I did in JavaScript. The difference is I use the word and the word or, as opposed to the double ampersands and the double caret, the double bars, rather. Questions, is this making sense? Yeah.
The way I have it set, it's working with the, you know, the A and the 12, but if I leave one of them blank, it crashes it. Is that normal?
Especially if it's a number, and yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Because you've asked it to take and convert it to integer, and it can't convert a space to integer. Okay. So it will crash if you don't put it in. If the A is missing, it won't. But if the 12 is missing, it will, because I said here, take what's in there and convert it to an integer. And if it's a space in there, it can't turn it into an integer. Okay. Questions? Okay. I'm going to close this solution. and I'm going to look at one other, actually not the one I said I was going to look at because of the time. So I'm going to go back, and I'm going to look at let me look back at the front and see which one it is. User input.
People, next time, if you guys don't mind bringing a flash drive or something and just downloading all these, that would be way easier to move along to. Instead of like, oh crap, I'm going to download.
Which one did you want?
Actually, I think I'll just put it into the one we have, probably. Well, user input is the one I want. I was looking at the time. I think we have time.
If you can't get this up and running, just watch.
Right. This is user input. So you want to download it and then change it. And this is really not a very big one. So it's only that big. While you're downloading it, in JavaScript, we have an alert and we have a prompt, okay, to get user interaction. The alert will flash something up on the screen, and the prompt will ask the user to enter something. In VB, we have a message box, which we're going to look at here as well, and we have an input box. So, we can use a message box to display stuff, just like we used an alert in JavaScript. And we can use an input box to take things in, just like we used a prompt in JavaScript. So they really are very comparable. Okay? So what I've got on this particular one is a very simple program where I'm asking it to take some things in. So I'm asking it to enter hours worked and enter hourly pay rate. And in a minute, we'll add a message box to this. Okay? So, first of all, I define some variables in this one. And again, in JavaScript, I use VAR to describe a variable. In Visual Basic, I use DIM to define a variable. I dimension it. So, var versus dim. Okay? Now, in Visual Basic, I also need to tell a type. JavaScript is different from a lot of languages in that it doesn't require you to declare a type when you put out a variable. Most languages do. They want you to tell, okay, is this a number or is this a string? Is it text? So I declared three variables here. One of them I called work hours, and I said that's going to be a decimal, which means it's a number that doesn't have to be a whole number. If I wanted it to be a whole number, I'd make it an integer. And then I declared a second one, and I said that one is going to be work pay per hour. And then I declared a third one, and I said that's going to be work gross pay. Okay? So I am declaring three variables, just like you did in JavaScript. I can declare variables that I'm going to work with. Okay, so now I'm going to run this. And it comes up and asks me to put in a name. So I'll put in Anne. And then I am going to say, it doesn't want me to do anything else. okay? If I type in gross pay, it will ignore me anyway because it's going to calculate gross pay. So I can put something there if I want, but it's going to not do anything with it. When I say click here, it executes the code. So it quickly declares the variables, and then it puts up the input box. And the input box, notice how it says enter hours worked, there's enter hours worked, comma hours, there's hours up there. So it tells me the labels that I'm putting in there. So I'm going to say that I worked 40 hours. So I'm going to put in 40. And then I am going to click OK. Now this is just like the prompt in JavaScript, in that everything has come to a grinding halt, and it's sitting there waiting. And if I leave and come back tomorrow and nobody's touched this machine, it's going to still be waiting. Okay? So it's brought everything to a grinding halt. I type the number and say OK. And then it says, OK, now give me the pay per hour. So I'll say 25. And I'm saying OK. It then does the calculation. Does the calculation, multiplies those two things together, and puts it in work gross pay. And then I said, OK, now put work gross pay out here. But wouldn't it look nice if it was in dollars? So I write the word format currency in front of it. And it then changes it into currency. And I can see the 1,000 there. Okay. Now, if I want to also tell the world with a message box, I can put in here message box and spell it correctly, message box, and tell it that I want to see work gross pay. And now if I run this, and I put in John, and I click here, and I put in 40 and 25. It flashes up in the message box the 1,000, and it tells me that that is user input, which is kind of the name of the box. But it flashes up the 1,000. So that's comparable to an alert in JavaScript. And then I say OK, and it puts it in the box. Okay, so let me take and put this code up in Notepad so you can see it if you can't. Okay, so that's the code that I have. So the input box is, put out our input box, say type that in, and it goes into work hours. I put it in, it goes into work pay per hour. I multiply the two things together, and I get gross pay. And then I said, okay, put up an alert, which in Visual Basic is a message box. So I put up the alert that tells me what it is, and then I also put it on the form. Okay. Now, on the whole, in Visual Basic, because it's so easy to type things into the form, you don't use the input box a whole lot, okay? And because it's so easy to write things on the form, you don't tend to use the message box as well. But I still use the message box the same way I use the alert in JavaScript, and that is if things aren't working and I want to see what the answer is, I put it up in a message box. And I use that to debug. Okay? So, that is the code that I can look at. So we've looked at basic, some basic math, some basic if statements that we finally got through, and input boxes and message boxes. Now, your assignment is to redo the Java homework. Come on, we can do it. I'm giving you the exact same problems that you had in the first JavaScript assignment. Okay? The exact same problems. Now, I would like you to use the form more than the input boxes. In other words, I would prefer that you do height, width, and depth and actually have the boxes on the form, because that's the way that JavaScript tends, I mean, Visual Basic tends to do things. So I'm not asking you to use an input box much. I want you to put it, set up the form with text boxes and do the stuff in the text boxes. So I want you to use text boxes for this. But what I want you to do is basically redo this program, but now I want you to do it in Visual Basic. So you've now figured out how the programs work, change it over and do it in Visual Basic so that you can kind of see how the two languages compare by doing the same programs in the same languages. Okay? Again, I'm available via email, but next week is in online classes. And basically, this is what I want you to work on, is really work on Visual Basic. And Pat's going to be in residence from 9:30 to 2:30.
Yep.
And so come and spend quality time with him.
Tuesday and Thursday.
On Tuesday and Thursday.
9:30 to 2:30. And I'm available now, 12:30 to 3. If you guys want some, you know, also, if this lesson today,